Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. We were down at a wedding, my first beach wedding, and spent some time with the grandparents. And so the kids are trying to impress grandma and grandpa, so they all wanted to pray for lunch yesterday. So I opened up my eye halfway through, and they've all taken a spoon, and they got it like this, and they're praying into their spoon. Like, all righty, clearly. They figure, okay, if you've got to pray, you've got to hold a microphone to your chin. So our kids can be cute. They can also raise some serious concerns. Like, I don't know if you have the same thing. When we watch movies, half of it ends up being paused because why are they doing that? Where's he going? As if I know. It's like, why is the car crashing? Well, if we watch, we'll see. Maybe it was Sabbath. I don't. And I was wondering about this until I watched a movie with my wife. So I'm putting the disc in the Blu-ray player. What's this about? Well, it's about a guy who rents a Blu-ray DVD and puts it in to find out what's it about. So, but the funniest was, okay, yeah, apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, but the one who takes the cake as to what's this about is a friend of mine who wanted to get into the series 24. I don't know if you've seen it. The premise of 24 is that there's always something happening with a terrorist attack or the threat of, and so Jack Bauer and CTU have to now solve this thing, and they've got 24 hours. And the way that they've done it is they've broken it up into 24 episodes of 1 hour apiece, and so everything works on a timeline. You remember that? So anyway, so this is now taking the TV viewing world by storm. So a friend of mine decides, well, she's missed it, so she wants to get in on this and goes and buys the DVD set. So the 24 hours are split into threes on 8 discs, which she doesn't figure. So she watches, puts in disc one, watches episode one, gets completely drawn in. She thinks, yes, finally, something good on TV. And then she takes disc one out and puts disc two in, which is episode four. And it's like, previously on 24. It's like, what? The president's dead? When did that? Jack Bauer's a bad guy. He's got plastic surgery. It was never, yeah. And then, of course, she gets to disc 8, which is episode 22, 23, 24, puts in and watches episode 22, and it ends, you know, Jack Bauer's, I don't know, cable tied to a helicopter, and there's a atom bomb in the back, and, you know, Colonel Sanders, Colonel Mustard enters the kitchen with a rope, the end. You know, it's like, what is going on? And a lot of the time, when we get into Scripture, we find the same thing happening. We don't know the backdrop to the story or where it started or who this key figure is and, you know, why is he behaving like that? And so we end up like her and we think, I will never watch another 24 again. And there's 8 of them. What? Yeah, are we that dense? And a lot of the time when we sit and we go through something like Pierce, like we've been doing week after week after week, if you miss the subtle nuances, if you get lost because of a dissonance in culture, you can sit there going, he's a bad guy now. What happened there? So we're going to take a look at the name of the series. It's called Pierced. This is part 6 or 7 already. And I want to, in one sense, give you a backdrop to where this whole thing fits in so that whatever you've learned, whatever God's been dealing with you in your heart, you've got somewhere to hang it. Or whatever God does in the future, in the next few weeks, you have a reference point in it. I'm sure it will make a whole lot more sense if you understand the cultural context and the backdrop. So if you're in Isaiah 53, it says the following, and this is where we got the title. Verse 4 says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what's this all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's about a divine exchange. And for us to understand the divine exchange, we kind of need to take a little bit of a panoramic view across the timeline, the Old Testament into the New. So we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15. And we're going to look at where this all started. You'll know you're at the right place when, if you've got an NIV like I have, it says, the Lord's covenant with Abram. But before we get into this, previously on 24, what you need to understand is this massive gap in culture. The biggest being, in those days, they didn't have a written culture. They had an oral storytelling culture. So a lot of the time, that's one of the reasons why Jesus used parables. What we do is we make an oath or a promise, and then we sign. Now you go to a wedding, and they say the most profound things up front, but then they still need to sign, because yeah, that's great, but I want to see pen on paper. But in these days, in Old Testament times, for hundreds and hundreds of years, because they weren't yet into a written culture, they had this oral culture, and so they would not only pronounce the oath and the promise, but they would in one sense ratify it with a story, and the story would be the acting out of the consequences. So they say, I'm bringing my car to be washed. Should you scratch it? This is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl. This is Joey and this baseball bat. And they would act it out. What will happen if you scratch my car? Okay, they didn't have cars and they didn't wash them. I'm sorry. Yes, I do understand. But follow me here. All right, so what they would then do is they'd make an oath. It would be the blessing. And then they would act out what happens if you cross me. So, which is the reason why I think I jotted a few down here. In Nehemiah, you might recognize some of these. It says, I shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way may God shake out their house, anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied. So they're making this promise, and then he takes the folds of his robe and he dusts it out. He said, this is what will happen to you. You'll be like dust to us. Or Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, find it often there. Jesus sends the disciples out. What does he say to them? If they don't receive you, dust off your feet. They'll be like dust to me. Nothing to do with you. Or in Isaiah, this is one of my favorite. The Lord said, take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet. And he did. And then the Lord said, just as Isaiah has gone around stripped and barefoot as a sign against Egypt and Cush, so the king of Assyria will be led away stripped and barefoot. So he's saying, this is my promise to you. If you rise up against my people, you'll be led off stripped and barefoot. And so Isaiah walked around for 3 years. And what people do, they go like, dude, what's this all about? Yeah, it's like you're in your underpants. And then he'd say, God has said this, and this is to enact what's going to happen to that king. We see things like Hosea calling his kids no mercy and not my people. Maybe you come to church and you see someone, you know, a guy giving another guy a wedding dress. And part of that he's saying, I feel God says, this enactment, this is where it comes from. Where this promise and the ratification of the promise, essentially the consequences of breaking it, were acted out. And so we come to this point here where God is making a covenant. And we can often miss it because what God does is he speaks his blessing, but then he also acts out what will happen if that promise is broken. If this covenant between himself and Abraham is standing as the representative of all mankind, what will happen if it gets broken? So take a look in verse 9 of Genesis 15. It says, the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds he didn't cut in half. So notice there, God says to him, bring, and he doesn't just bring, he cuts them in half. He begins to do something that they would do essentially in this culture for centuries. We see Abram doing this. 1,000 years later, we see David and Jonathan doing it. 300 or 400 years after that, we see Jeremiah doing that as a testimony against the people. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they had this covenant stipulation, this way of expressing it. This is like the nth degree of an agreement between two parties. You had nothing more weighty, more kind of cast in stone than what is about to happen here. So he says, okay, come, let's get the stuff. Abraham, knowing what to do, cuts him in half and begins laying these pieces out. And then they do the following. What they would do is they'd speak the blessing and then the breaking of and the consequences, right? So the blessing looked like this. First thing they would do is they would exchange robes. Now, in our days, you know, it's not a case of saying, well, you know, you can have this, my brown jacket, you know, so last year. When they had a robe, that's literally all they had. We find in the Bible that when you take someone's robe as punishment for payment of a debt, you actually had to return it to him at night because that's what he slept under. So when you give a robe, you're basically giving me, my identity, who I am. It's why Joseph irked his brothers because that technicolor dream coat of his, he wore it everywhere. Whenever you saw him, he had this thing. And so it was such a significant representation of who I am. And I would give that to you, and you would give yours to me. Everything that I am is yours. Everything that you are is mine. My identity, my values. And then they would exchange belts, which like today, you know, although they wore robes, kind of kept things together and kept you dignified. So I would give you my belt and you would give me yours because I'll cover your shame. I'll keep you dignified. I'll protect your name. Plus, it was also where they carried their weapons. So it's a case of saying, you have all that keeps me safe and I'll have all yours. Plus, you have my defense. You have me coming to your rescue. So it's a beautiful picture. And then they exchange names. This is kind of weird. It's almost like we adopt one another. So when someone sees me, they see you. We are family. We are one. We are so united that I've taken your name into mine. And then comes the cutting. And this is what we read here, where Abraham cuts those pieces, lays them out. And then what they would do, they'd come and they'd stand back to back in the middle of this thing, and they'd work their way through in a figure eight, signifying the unending nature of this covenant agreement, as well as now getting into the consequences. They walk through, they say, essentially, things like this that you might read in Isaiah 53. May I be cut off if I do not fulfill this promise I'm making to you. May I be cut in half. May I be pierced through. May I be crushed. May I be torn apart. May I be cast aside like those birds, despised, rejected, counted as nothing, like a dead bird that you don't want your kids to play with. If I do not fulfill this promise to you. So may my blood be poured out to death. Essentially, may I be slaughtered if I do not fulfill this promise I'm making to you right now. And may this happen as punishment and payment for my lack of fulfilling this oath. And then he goes on to say, if I don't, I give you permission to do this. My family will not seek revenge if you do this to me. I will not open my mouth. I will remain silent. When this is done to me, it will be done justly, deservedly, because I have broken my covenant with you. So that, should this happen, we will consider this debt paid in full. There will be no revenge, no recompense. Done. But then there's a twist. It's because Jack Bauer did have plastic surgery. It wasn't him after all. And this is the most epic twist ever known to mankind. Just when you think you've got this picture sewn up, God does something unparalleled in human history. He doesn't allow Abraham to walk between the pieces. See, he says, I will go through for the both of us. So what God is saying here, and acting out the consequences, he says, Abram, I will make a promise to be your God and you will be my people. Should I not fulfill that promise? Should I ever withdraw myself? Should I ever withhold my love? Should you ever cry out to me and I go, May I be cut. May I be pierced. May I be crushed. May I, as God Almighty, be destroyed. But, he says, Abraham, should you ever break this covenant, may I be slaughtered. May I be crushed. May I be pierced. May I be poured out to death. Beautiful. See, he's saying, I will fulfill this covenant. Even if, and it did, even if I have to die, this covenant will be fulfilled. You see, because centuries later, as we read, the sun setting, Abraham fell into deep sleep and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him in Genesis 15. Centuries later, we see darkness coming again. Mark 15 says, darkness fell upon the whole earth. Because what do we find? Us having broken the covenant meant God had to fulfill his promise. And Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is being pierced, crushed, wounded, despised, rejected like that little bird. His criminal who deserves the death sentence is saying to this spotless person, ah, you waste, you reject. See, when we go to Isaiah 53, surely he took up our pain. Why? Because God promised he would. God promised he would pour himself out to death if we failed to keep our side of the covenant. He was despised, rejected. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is why. This is the backdrop to this magnificent story and the series that we've been covering. It's God made a promise. I will not break this oath and this covenant I'm making with you. And if I do, may I be crushed. And if you do, may I be crushed. See, what we find in Hebrews 7, remember we're walking panoramically through the Bible? What we find in Hebrews 7, it says this. This is the most amazing verse. Hebrews 7 says, because of this oath, because of what happened with Abraham, because of this oath, Jesus became the guarantor of the covenant, which is another word for he became surety. He physically became surety. And I looked up surety in the dictionary, and it says the following. It says, surety is a promise by one party to assume the responsibility for the debt of another should they default on their payment. Because of that oath, Jesus took the responsibility to pay for your debt should you default on the payment. And Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, what? To proclaim good news to the poor. And I always thought, yeah, these are the guys in the rags on the side of the road. No, no, no. Proclaim good news to the poor, those who cannot pay this debt, he says, I will stand surety. Awesome. Hey? A promise by one party to assume the responsibility for the debt of another should they default on their payment. So, I finish with this. I urge you with everything in me, default on your payment. You might never hear that in church again, but default on your payment. See, because you might be thinking, if I can just stop that, and if I can just be a little bit gooder and a bit better and a better husband, then maybe I can pay. No. No. This is a debt you do not want to pay. Better still, it's a debt that has been paid in full, and Jesus stands as your surety. If you simply say, I know I deserve it, but you're offering to pay for me, for my sin, for me breaking this covenant. It's too good to be true, but I will take it hook, line, and sinker. You do not want to pay this debt. But God says, can we make this agreement? Can we make this covenant? The only part that Abraham played in this thing was that he was the other party. And God says to you this morning, will you be that other party? Remember the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? He says, I've sent, I've done, I've paid in full. And it can end here. So they would exchange robes. And maybe you need to know that God, as part of his covenant, wants to exchange robes with you. What is it? What is it that you carry around with you that to you is a filth and a shame and a disqualification? Is it that abortion you had? Is it that affair? Is it that thing that you just can't get over? God says, then let's make this covenant. You give me that rubbish. You give me that shame. You give me whatever it is that defines you. Whatever it is that is you in your shame and your hatred. When you can't even look at yourself in the mirror, he says, we can swap. And I will give you the spotless robe of my righteousness. Not a blemish. Not a wrinkle. Not a spot of shame. Do you want it? He removes the record of our sin. He removes it. The thing is that your stinky, dirty robe just gets consumed. And you're left clothed in his righteousness, which is real Bible speak for just, he takes away the shame. He takes away your sin. He takes away that which defines you, that which trips you up, that which you beat yourself up about. He wants to swap belts with you. He wants to give you dignity where you just carry shame. He wants to defend you. He wants to carry you. He wants to look after and protect you. Sometimes he calms the storm. Sometimes he just calms his child in the midst of it. But he wants to change and exchange. See, if you start thinking this is scandalous, this is too good to be true, you're starting to get it. Until you do, you're still in the mix. But he left Abram sleeping there while he made this covenant. And he says, all you need to do is be that other party. They exchanged names. I love that. See, because you carry, maybe legacy is too positive a word. You carry the family name. And it might be family that has been through lots of affairs and divorces. Your family name might be alcoholics, drug addicts. Your family name might be one of shame. Or maybe the name that you have that you now see you handing down to your kids, it's just like filth in your hands. And he says, we exchange names. I take even that. I break off everything behind you. Slate, on the cross, done, finished. That generational bloodline, whatever you want to call it, he says, I'll exchange it. My name has none of that, and I give it to you. I don't know if you remember when Chris Vinant was here, he shared about that moment in adoption. He was with a friend who's going through the adoption process, and the judge leant over. He said, but are you sure? Are you sure, 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 sure? Because when this pen, in my authority, writes on that piece of paper, there's no court in this land who can reverse what I'm about to do. Are you sure? And when he exchanges names, it's exactly the same thing. There's no court. There's no sin. There's no failure. There's no demon in hell who can separate you from the love of God. See, because you weren't part of the detail. You were that other party. This doesn't hinge on you. The only thing you added to this was you brought the pain. You brought the sin. You brought the suffering. And he took it all. And then that cuts in two. May I be cut off. See, because actually what happens here, and I've never seen it before. One of the commentators pointed it out. Now, if you've been coming to church a long time, you know by faith Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. But did you know 2 verses later he unbelieves? I don't know if you've noticed that. It says he believes the Lord and it's counted to him as righteousness. But the next thing he's saying, but Lord, how will I know that I will inherit the promise? See, because what he says, you know what? And this is us, isn't it? God, I believe absolutely every word in this. Because you're the unfailing, unchanging God who walks between the pieces. But me, I'm the stain on this contract, you know? How long until I let you down? How long until I fail you? How long until you get sick and tired and you just give up on it? That's why God did the covenant at that time. This cutting of the pieces was the response to Abraham saying, but how will I know? Because God said, okay, let me show you how big a part you play. Sleep. Ratifies the covenant. Takes the consequences. And he says, that's how much this hinges on you. As he walks through those pieces in an unending eternal figure eight and promises himself, betroths himself to his people, he says, there's nothing you can do to undo this covenant. And so this morning I ask you, if you've never made that agreement, this doesn't happen by default. God still says, will you be that other party? And actually, it's as easy as that. He says, are these terms good for you? Can we finalize this agreement? Have you finalized that agreement? You know you signed on your wedding day. If you're not so sure, then can I urge you this morning to ratify this covenant and say, I've looked at these terms. And I'm in agreement. And if you have, and you still carry that shame-drenched robe, can you give it back? It was part of his original agreement, and he doesn't want you to have it. He wants you to have his. And like we heard this morning, if you are crippled and crushed by your circumstance, wouldn't you swap belts with him? Wouldn't you entrust your dignity and your protection and your provision to him again? And if you're here with the baggage and the brokenness of your family name, how about you swap names this morning? How about you do some business? So I'm going to ask Kai and the band to come up. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do communion. What communion is about is communion essentially... it's to remind us of this covenant. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Look at that. We use a biscuit or a wafer, that broken piece of bread that symbolizes how I was broken in pieces. Drink that juice, which symbolizes how I was poured out. And remember what I have done. And where the enemy has come and said, yeah, but you missed some fine point. No, no, no. You, again, be reminded of this. And so we're going to have stations out, two in the front, two in the middle, two right at the back. And we're going to sing and we're going to make much of the God who's walked between the pieces this morning. And I want to ask you, as we do, to do business. You're welcome to come out your seats if you want to have communion. If you'd like to do business in your seat, you're welcome to. If you've never done communion before, there's no qualification. What we do is we say, God, because you are broken, I don't have to be. Because you bled out, I have this covenant written in the blood of Jesus upon the cross. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you did. Oh, Lord, I'm so, so grateful you put Abram to sleep. Because I know, just like Abram, when I look at you, Lord, I see the solid, unchanging, unwavering, mighty God who's true to his word. But when I look at me, Lord, I just see me failing and failing and failing and failing. And I'm so, so, so grateful that you said, should you break the promise, may you be torn in two. And should I, that you will be torn in two. And I'm so glad that you did it. I'm so glad you didn't open your mouth, that you didn't seek revenge, that you considered it paid in full. And I'm so glad that you changed my name, that I carry your name. So Father, I ask this morning that we, in one sense, would celebrate what you've done, but for those of us who need to be reminded of the fullness of what you've done, would you do that this morning? For those of us who carry shame and brokenness, who carry sin, would you allow us to place it on the head of Jesus? Would you allow us to see that you walked through those pieces alone? And to receive the fullness of your payments. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you stand? We're going to sing.
You've been listening to a sermon preached at 3CI that forms part of a series called Pierced. To listen to or download additional messages in the series, or for service details, go to 3ci.co.za.